Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
My upset turned to revenge. In a big way. I kicked in the door at him and handcuffed my little ex-friend to the radiator and stole the money. I went and took all the produce as well from the flat above upstairs, sold it all myself. And you'll find that people in those trades often have a weapon of choice. His weapons were ridiculously knives. I went and sold them to all of his competitions and his enemies and took photos of people standing there posing and sent them all to him. Once I sold him his produce, I realised, you know what, why the fuck have I been letting a man do this when I can do this?
This episode sounds a little bit less like The Breakup Breakdown and more like a movie such as, I don't know, Scarface, but if everybody was on some kind of big revenge heist because of a cheating ex-boyfriend. Welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy, and this is the podcast that gets to the bottom of those messy breakups you want to know more about, whether it's your own breakup story, a friend's breakup story, something you've seen online, or if you just want me to like DM that girl you went to college with who broke up her engagement and never told anybody why, you can submit all of those story tips in the episode description. There's a form linked there. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got an interview from someone who says her boyfriend cheated, and she responded by taking his entire business and somehow getting involved with the British Mafia. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week, I believe, for the first time ever, we are going international, and I'm giving a shout out to Refuge for Women and Children Against Domestic Violence. This is an organization based out of the United Kingdom, and they empower women to live without violence and fear. They are the largest domestic violence organization in the United Kingdom. So for more details, head to the episode description. Okay, so I ended this week's submission because it kind of came to me in a roundabout way. So I don't know if you follow the user Drowned Little Rat on social media, but she went really viral recently. Because some Irish guy slid into her DM, she flew to see him, they fell in love, and anyway, turns out he's cheating on her. Anyway, that's not what this week's story is about. I was up in her comments trying to get her on this podcast. And long story short, ended up in a DM conversation with somebody who was telling me about their boyfriend who did them so wrong that she ended up stealing his entire book of business purely out of revenge, but it led her down this path that introduced her to the British Mafia and also landed her in prison for a hot little second. And I was like, girl, I'm sad. Like, I simply don't need to know any more details. Like, this sounds like an insane story, mostly because I'm creeping on you now, and it looks like you're not involved in any of that kind of nefarious activity. So first of all, what did he do to make you want to steal his entire business? And how does it lead you into an organized crime ring? And then what makes you want to leave it eventually? Well, we will get all those details when we break down this week's breakup.
He was quite a bit older than me.
How I much older?
Worryingly so now with hindsight, but yeah, 10 years older.
Okay, all right.
So he was really funny, quite unassuming, really nice. Everyone was friends with him, made friends really easy and quickly. I'm quite socially awkward, so I suppose that's what attracted me to him a little bit.
Having some social confidence and leaning on that strength.
Yeah, really good sense of humor, just nice guy. Yeah, little social butterfly of just a bit of a hustler. We both had quite kind of hustler attitudes and both came from the same background, so quite skin, I don't know if Americans use that word, do they? Quite poor.
Okay.
So kind of council estate, upbringing, all parent families, that kind of thing. And so you kind of grow up with a bit of grit and hustling skills, shall we say. And yeah, really nice guy. I thought he was really funny, really cute. Little did I know.
Did you at the time feel any type of way about the 10-year age gap?
No, I think came from a bit of a troubled background myself. So kind of looked up to things that I shouldn't have looked up to, if that makes any sense.
You guys are together for how long?
We were together for a few years.
Okay, so a couple of years. At what point in the relationship did you start noticing some of those red flags that would get worse later on?
Well, I knew he was earning money in a bit of a dodgy way. But as I said, we all kind of looked up to the wrong things when we were younger. So it wasn't such a red flag. Should have been, wasn't. And lots of things should have been red flags that weren't at the time. So I suppose the main thing that made me look at things totally differently was I went away on holiday with my family for, God, I can't even remember where I went to. Oh, I went to New York just for a week with my mum. She's a nurse. So she was a, I'd moved out of home at 16 and... But I still had a good relationship with my mum. She was doing a job interview in Queens, New York for a hospital. So she's a nurse. And I went over there with her for a week. I came back and my friends had all reported to me that another car, he didn't drive, I did. Another vehicle was in my private parking space for our flat. So that was the first red flag.
Did you have any idea where this car would have come from? If I was in your position, I guess I would assume maybe it's a customer of his or something along those lines. But did you think it was something else?
Totally. But we kind of lived in a smallish town. So everybody kind of knew everyone. We're all familiar with who drove what car and things like that. So it was a bit of a smallish community, especially with the kind of people that we ran with, was quite close-knit. Didn't think much of it at first because I thought maybe the neighbours would have been cheeky using the driving parking space, knowing that I wasn't there. But then after finding out what kind of car it was, a few rumours went around and I thought, maybe there's something to that. But never really got to the bottom of that until another red flag kind of exposed itself.
Did you know who the driver of the car was?
No, I knew what the car was. I knew the number plate. All the information got reported back to me by my very nosy friends, which is always helpful.
Gotcha. And this is how long into your relationship?
About 2.5 years.
Okay, so this is towards the end. So you notice this car and you kind of flag that as weird, but are you in denial? Kind of like, oh, well, it's probably just coming up with any excuse that it's not anything untoward.
I am naturally suspicious and don't trust anyone. So it's not the kind of person just to sit there and go, oh, everything's lovely, but probably more the type of person to see something that isn't a red flag and think that it is and run with it and start investigating. And then notice that he had a phone number that was calling his phone or texting his phone, calling his phone really often and quite late at night in his business. Exactly uncommon.
Okay.
So not an issue. Red flag. But I also noticed that it was under the most kind of plain name that you would ever know, and I knew none of them. Like it was George or something like that.
Yeah.
Just a plain random. And I thought, we don't know a George. So I just decided to, he was asleep one night, so I picked up his phone, used his finger to unlock it, obviously, because he's asleep. And it done, so easily done.
I love it.
And then called the number, put it on silent so that we couldn't hear whoever answered it, but made sure that they could hear us. I assumed it was a woman rather than a man, so I made sure I heard who answered it, and it was a female's voice. So I then, and I thought, that doesn't sound too much like a George. So I woke him up and was just talking to him while they were on the phone so that they could hear us talking, just saying stupid things, really, but really obvious things like, love you, baby. How long have we been together now? So good to celebrate our anniversary next week. Things like that. Had to be done. So I just wanted to see what the reaction was. So if that number, I would then hung up the phone, let him go back to sleep, walked out the bedroom with his phone just to see if they would start blowing up his phone, texting angry text messages. If it's just a customer, then what would it matter?
Right.
So, they automatically started blowing up the phone straight away. And I didn't answer it. I just made sure everything was deleted off his call register so that he had no idea that it was used.
Oh, my God.
Took the number, and saved it onto my phone, so I had that number under George, of course. Then left it until the next day I went to work. And then she realised from her reaction that she must not have known about me. So I'm not really one to rip the girl apart. I'm more the one to go for the guy. See, if she doesn't know, then she's not doing anything wrong.
Right.
So, yeah, I went to work the next day and there was people coming up to me in my small town saying that there was a really angry crackhead-looking bird looking... Oh, sorry, we call women birds. Looking for me and asking if anybody knows and saying my name, but saying it slightly incorrectly. So she obviously didn't actually know me.
Oh my God.
And yeah, going around looking for me, apparently wanting to beat me up and things of that nature. Quite embarrassing, really, when you're at work and you get told things like this. She found me, or I found her, as it were. I got her description of a few friends and then went to find her. So found her, had a chat with her, let her know what the deal was. She didn't have any idea that I was with him. She'd been with him for about 6 months, I think. So,
wow.
Yeah. So they'd obviously been having a nice little bit of fun behind my back for a while. So I just thought, let's just team up. Let's go and confront him together. And she kind of really hesitantly agreed, which made me think, maybe you did know about me. Are you lying to me? Because why would you not want to confront him?
Yeah. Well, also, maybe she just wanted to take her anger out on you, but maybe she didn't want to break up with your guy.
Absolutely. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right there. I made it very clear to him that I'd found out just through a text message at that point, but I hadn't actually had a face-to-face conversation with him or anything. And he, knowing that I wasn't the calmest person I'd be when I was younger.
Nobody ever is.
Let's just premise this with I am a total different person now. This is a past life. Nothing to do with me now.
Right.
But, yeah, so he done a runner to his mum's, which was about half a mile away from our flat, which is just not far to run, is it? If you're trying to avoid someone, go further. So, and I knew that if he was going to go anywhere, it would be to his mum's. So I got her and got her, persuaded her to get in the car with me, his other woman, and took her to his mum's to confront him. He refused to come out of the flat.
If you weren't over him before you went over there, I would imagine that would give you such an ick that it would have been absolutely zilch, like no feelings whatsoever.
And then it became just so much more insulting. Like, who do you think you are? I suddenly became the whole, hang on, I'm far too good with you for you. What the hell have I been doing? Wasting my time with you. And then you're going to disrespect me to the point where you're not even going to come out and discuss it with me.
Yeah.
So
what's the other woman doing while you're with her in the car? Is she like feeling the same way? What's going on with her?
She's very quiet.
Okay.
Very quiet the whole time. Saying that she wants to confront him. And then I realize she's secretly texting him.
Stop.
Yeah. I look over her shoulder and she's trying to contact him personally. Like come out and using the word baby, saying I still love you, right? But I thought I clocked that, I saw that over her shoulder, but I thought it doesn't matter. They can do what they want together. I just want the confrontation. I just wanted to have it out and be able to draw a line under it. I left mainly out of respect for his mum more than anything else, because I was acting rather chubby at that point, like shouting outside the flat, which is young, stupid, yet heartbroken, first love, all that stuff. It would have been nice if that ick would automatically have turned the feelings off, but the feelings of love just turned into mass amounts of anger,
really?
Which was not massively healthy.
What was driving that anger for you?
The disrespect that he wouldn't even, I couldn't even have a conversation with him about it, or the confrontation, or to be able to have, I suppose, closure. But just when you're hit with all of those emotions, especially being so young, and it's your first love, so your heart's just torn out, and you think that you love this person. You think that that's what love is. And then not to be able to even, for him to even care about you enough to talk to you, or acknowledge it, or anything. I think, yeah, the anger came from there pretty quickly. So my upset turned to revenge. In a big way.
Let's get into that.
Right, so I don't know how appropriate this revenge is going to be. Right, are you ready?
I don't know how we could get crazier than you confronting him with the girlfriend at the front. Oh, wait, by the way, did him and the other woman, did they stay together?
So me and her, we left. We came back to my flat. We're standing in the car park outside my flat, actually, talking. I was trying to talk to her, doing the whole girl thing. Like, don't worry, he's not worth it. We're far better than him. And I could tell that this woman was a good 12 years older than me. Mm-hmm. Definitely had a crack habit. I was just so insulted at this point. I don't know, it's horrible to say, but I was just thinking, hang on, I'm better than her. That's a horrible thing to say.
Because typically it's the other way around. It's like you're dating somebody your age and then you go off and cheat with somebody younger or, you know, more naive.
It would have been so much more understandable if she was... I don't think I'm pretty. I don't think I'm pretty at all. But if he'd gone off with someone, a pretty young lady or a pretty older lady or someone that had their head screwed on a little bit more or... But this woman was, wearing cropped fur jackets, knee-high plastic boots, the whole bleached blonde hair to the point that it's straw, and she just done so much. Yeah, she had a lot of bad habits, you could tell. So it was just one of those. And I was thinking, damn, so you didn't respect me enough to even go after something better. You traded me in for that. Like, that's harsh.
Because then you can't even make sense of it logically.
No, I didn't understand it. And there's me thinking, God, I must be really horrible. Or ugly person. So I think that definitely hit the confidence. Not that I had much to begin with. But so I brought back to the flat car park. We were talking and he turned up. So he did show face. I think more by accident he got dropped off by friends, not realising that we were there. You kind of had to walk through a walkway that also passed through our car park to flats. So he came across us. And she walked off. She left. She didn't stay, which I thought was really strange. She left. Mm-hmm. As soon as she walked off in the other direction. And I thought, for a second, I thought, hang on, that's suspicious. Then I thought, oh, maybe she is actually just done with the situation, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
I spoke to him, screamed at him, done the whole emotional thing. We were engaged as well, Abby, so I took my ring off.
Stop. I'm totally glazed over that. Like, you guys were going to get married.
Well, yeah, it wasn't exactly like we'd planned any wedding, or it was just a random proposal one night and a ring. It hadn't really moved past that. But so, I took the ring off, threw it at him. He walked away. And then I sat there and thought for a second. Then I followed him without him realizing. And he walked off around the corner about 10 feet and gave the ring to her.
No!
Yeah.
And she's like, suddenly, this is the happiest day of my life.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, yes, that was what she wanted, which would is strange.
That's her decision, her life to live with, her choices to make. But naturally, absolutely, I could see how this would fuel the fire of anger for you to want to get some kind of revenge.
I decided to go more tactical. I knew that he wouldn't come back to our flat. Technically, it was his flat. So let's just get that right. I'd moved in with him. And there was a reason why people in that trade lived in flats when I was younger, because if the police got a warrant, they could only get a warrant for your flat and not the whole block of flats. So if you had something to hide, it would be in the flat above yours or the flat next to yours.
Gotcha.
So I went in there and obviously grabbed all my stuff, left, and then he put his friend in the flat because he wasn't going to come back there for a while. Mm-hmm. I think he must stay with her. I tried to knock on the door knowing this friend as well was like once a mutual friend of ours. Actually, this friend was a friend of mine first before they met him, right? Which annoyed me that he had loyalties to him during the whole thing. He wouldn't let me in the flat and showed clearly where his loyalties lay. So right, I thought, right, I'm not having this. So I kicked in the door, Abby, with a friend that was rather bigger than me and handcuffed my little ex-friend to the radiator and... stole the money, and this guy had to pay this lump sum of money to a bigger, scarier guy every month that I also knew. So I called up that bigger, scarier guy and said, look, I've just got all the paper together, that's what we call money. We say, I've just got all your paper together to come and sort you out, and he's told me not to pay you. So I just wanted to let you know that I think he's going to rob you this month.
Stop.
So I took all the money and went and booked a nice hotel in Egypt for myself for 9 weeks. Decided that I wanted to do a few more things before I left. So, I'd called that guy, let him know that the money was no longer there. So he was definitely planning on robbing him. So he went after my ex at that time, which in turn made sure that my ex could not return to the immediate area for quite a while. So that was satisfying.
Oh my God.
I went and took all the produce as well from the flat above, upstairs, previously discussed why it's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he went and took that and sold it all myself.
She's a businesswoman.
Yeah, so he was a bit of a paranoid freak, and you'll find that people in those trades often have a weapon of choice. His weapons were ridiculously knives, and a lot of types of knives in England are illegal, like butterfly knives, things like that, like the ones that you can spin around your fingers, and that they're counted as like deadly weapons. So he had a lot of those that he used to bring in from a different country. So I grabbed all of those, all of his most prized treasured possessions, which was, how weird is that for a fully grown man, that's knives. So I went and sold them to all of his competitions and his enemies, and took photos of people standing there posing with his favorite things and sent them all to him.
This is crazy. Someone needs to make like a movie about this.
Once I sold all his produce, I realized, you know what, why the fuck have I been letting a man do this when I can do this? And I took all of his workers, I took his business, I took his area, I took everything, and I went to Egypt for 9 weeks. But the best thing that happened was the morning that I went to leave. I was going to go and enjoy my holiday. I was about to leave to Egypt. There was a knock on my door, and it was my friend that lived around the corner. And he'd come over. It was his birthday, actually. He came over in his pajamas with his bowl of Rice Krispies, eating breakfast at my door, knocking on the door. And wake up, you have to turn on the TV. And turns out he was on the Jeremy Kyle show. Do you know the Jeremy Kyle show?
So you, I think, mentioned that it's like British Jerry Springer.
Yeah, it's like that. It's just still trailer trashy kind of people, hilarious, like storylines, just ridiculous people. And yeah, she'd taken him on that because she couldn't trust him. In the whole storyline, I was never mentioned because obviously she didn't want to expose herself for being the other woman initially.
Yeah.
So she just wanted to be on there saying that she's in a loving relationship and she doesn't trust her other half. But it all came out because obviously he's getting texts from random girls at all times. Whenever he leaves her side, she's getting a text from a random girl. So she's got the evidence to prove that he's continuously cheating on her. He never did.
And really, the whole time, it's just you sending these messages. But she's on national television claiming that he has all these other girls.
Yeah, because it's not. Yeah, it wasn't me actually sending it. It was just random people. It was just a network of friends.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. Is the episode online? Like, if I go and look for it, can I find him?
I don't know, actually. I think I tried to look for it once about 5 years later when me and my friend were sitting there having a bit of a smoke and a laugh and thought, you know what, let's try and look at this. I don't think we could find it. But yeah, Abby, you know what? I'll have a look for it and I'll see if I can send it to you.
I would love to watch it if you ever do find it, because that's absolutely hysterical.
I probably stayed in it for about 5 years. I got picked up and headhunted by an organised London family. When you get picked up by an organised crime family, they give you a job interview.
Oh, and like the mafia. We're talking like the mafia. This is how naive I am. I'm literally thinking like, oh, this family just wants like a direct line to products.
Organized crime, like old school London families, organized crime, like career criminals. So, like, have you heard of the Cray twins? Like people like that.
I'm going to have to Google this. Peaky Blinders?
Yeah, generations through the family, that kind of thing. Yeah, Peaky Blinders, I love that.
gotcha. Okay, because I can picture Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, so you get picked up for an interview kind of thing, and the interview is a job. They give you a job. And when I say a job, they give you a crime to go and commit. So, and it's not like, I know like gangs in America, they do like jump in things. If you enter a gang and you go and have to beat someone up or get your first blood and stuff, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. It's totally civilized. They give you a job. They want you to fail, because if you do fail, then they want to see if you're able to keep your mouth shut while you're in prison, and if you can serve a sentence and be quiet, and if you can serve it well. Because prison isn't the be-all and end-all. When you're in prison, there's still business. You can earn more money in prison than you can outside sometimes. So it's a whole thing. I thought, do I really want to do this? And the payoff was working for them, earning a set. Like, I mean, I'm not earning on what I sell anymore. I'll be earning a flat rate every week, and it's a lot. I would also be given a flat in the West End, which is a really posh part of London. And you would also, it's not going to be in your name, though, Abby. Nothing's in anybody's name. You'd also be given like access to certain posh clubs and like the nice places that people go to work there. And then I realized, well, that's not going to be selling weed, is it? That's going to be selling coke. So not really what I wanted to do, but I was such a twat at that age, Abby. I just thought, you know what? I wanted to see if I could do it. I wanted to see if I could get the job before I took the job. Does that make sense?
Yes, like you wanted to see if they thought you were in any way worthy to be a part of it.
Yeah, I already knew that they wanted me, but I also wanted to see if they would take me. Like, So I'll do it. What a stupid thing to say. Oh, yes, I'll do it just to see if I can do it. And we all got arrested.
No.
Yeah, it was hilariously bad, but still really, it's embarrassing to say, but still some of the funniest memories that I have. I didn't get the full sentence. All the three men that I did the job with all kind of had my back because one of us still had to be out to continue business.
Mm-hmm.
We were all kind of in it together. I was the best one at what we did, so I was the one to keep out of prison. So they all said, oh no, she didn't know anything about it. Oh no, she only did this because of this. Oh no. So they all had my backs. And then I happened to get bail about a week later, which means that I got to leave. I just realised that I didn't want to become that kind of person. So I started sorting my shit out after that. A lot.
This is a fascinating interview for me, by the way. Like, it has totally changed from I dated this guy and he went on British Jerry Springer, and now I'm like a reformed, organized crime baddie. How do you even make that decision to go, okay, now I'm going to go do this? Like, how did you know what was the right path for you since you had been doing the other stuff for so long?
I watched people get arrested quite a lot as I'd grown up because they were doing all the illegal business side of it and they never kept a job. So they can never justify the income. So you'd get arrested and all your assets seized and things like that for conspiracy. Because you might be doing illegal business really well, but if you've got a car that you're driving around with and you can't justify where that money came from, then they can take that. Wow. They can arrest, they can take, seize all your assets. They can freeze your assets. They can freeze your bank accounts. If you can't say, look, yeah, I've got an income. That's my legal income. That's my paycheck. Then they're like, well, you're obviously getting it illegally. So therefore, we're taking it and we're going to investigate you. Until we investigated it, we won't give it back to you. And that could be years. So like, I've had friends that have had 3 million seized and frozen, all of their bank accounts, and they've never got it back.
Wow.
They can't justify where they got it from. When I came out, I started working, and one of my friends, the guys that I did the jewelers thing, one of the guys was my best friend, and he'd studied a certain career when he was in prison. The rest of the guys got sentences, so I got 2 years suspended. One got a 6-year and the other two got 4 years each.
Wow.
So when my best friend came out, he opened up a business in London. He studied it while he was a really clever guy. I mean, good criminals generally are extremely clever. So he studied that, he came out, he opened up his own office, he started doing that. I came and worked for him for a bit. So we were all kind of suited and booted, looking like extremely high-flying businessmen and women walking around London. I then realised how many transferable skills I had. That I was really good. I can get, like, customer service, fantastic. My advertising and marketing, amazing. I walked into a manager's position, a massive job in a massive company, in like a massive advertising and marketing company in central London, just from blagging it, Abby, using my illegal stories and putting a nice legal twist on it. And then realizing that I've done all this. I've done this, and I've done marketing, I've done customer service. I know my profit margin. I know what investment it takes to see a good comeback from it. I know all these things, and I can apply it to anything. So why am I just applying it to something that can give me a prison sentence? So, started doing lots of other things. I took a lot of pride in wearing, like, office suits and looking like a businesswoman and going into the city every day and stuff like that. And then I realised these bastards are all just fucking criminals as well. Mm-hmm. Like, stockbrokers, land brokers, all of it. I'm walking into, like, a fucking Wolf on Wall Street office every day with men screaming down the phone, if your fucking stock goes down, I'll go down on you. Like, things like that, right? And businessmen love that shit. They're like, yeah, take it, 20 grand, son, go for it. Go on, put 50 grand on that. No, put a mil on that. Like, they're all fucking ferocious, and everyone's a criminal. And I thought, what? It's no different. The legal side of it in the city, in office, like culture and stockbroking and that stuff, it's exactly the same. It's just gangsters everywhere. So I now married to a police sergeant with a farm that I've just bought. And I'm trying to get planning permission to build a house in it. And that's it, really. Now, I just drive around the hills in a beautiful big black truck. I don't run into fucking traffic or people. The most I run into is a Highland cow and a sheep. It's beautiful. And I see the Northern Lights nearly every bloody night. I can see the Milky Way. The views are immense. It's stunning. To me, it's like I grew up in a shithole estate with a shitty family, with really shitty friends, really, with hindsight. I only realised this when I was a lot older, but I just didn't like myself or having self-worth, because I think when you're a kid and you're growing up with a family that doesn't value you anyway. You don't have self-worth. You don't have a soft place to land. You don't have someone to talk to. You don't have anyone to trust. I can never trust anyone in my family. I was getting robbed by them or treated like crap by them. Or yeah, it's just, you could never trust anyone. If you grew up as a child with no one to trust, you don't have any self-worth. So I only realized later on, like, now I'm learning to value myself. Now I'm learning to like myself. And I'm also realizing, like, how powerful women are.
You should be so incredibly proud of yourself. I mean, I know you just said that you've had a little bit of a struggle with self-worth and you're getting there to where you have more confidence in yourself. But I mean, look at what you've accomplished, to where you came from a really tough background to now you've built this beautiful life for yourself, to where I can hear the pride in your voice talking about the state of which you live in now. Like, I mean, just getting to have simple things like watching the Northern Lights and a sheep and a husband. And I think you should just feel incredible, incredible pride over what you built for yourself.
I'm so lucky as well, because he's who I ended up with. It's just, God, such a stark contradiction to the kind of guys I used to date. And he's just the nicest, loveliest guy. And we both grew up in the same area. Like, we're both from the same area, the same kind of background. He also grew up in a shithole estate in a single parent family that were really skint. And then he went into the police. We're from the same backgrounds, and he went the right way about things. Society would do it. So we're just the most opposite people you could ever come across in your whole life. And yet it works so well. He's the most patient, lovely, understanding, down to earth, the darkest sense of humour you will ever meet, which is me perfectly on that front, because we both have terrible sense of humour. And then we just take the piss out of each other constantly. And somehow we've managed to get to 12 years in just still taking the piss out of each other and making each other laugh.
I'm glad you found someone that makes you feel that way and compliments you so well. But I know there are some people listening that are probably thinking, well, I feel like I've found myself in a really tough situation where, like, maybe I'm dating a guy who's a little dodgy, or maybe I found myself in a kind of a sketchy situation. What kind of encouragement or advice would you give those people? Build the kind of life for themselves that you've also built.
You've got to realize what you're worth. It's worth it. It's realizing that, I mean, if we're going to cut out all the, like, the entertaining story of it's funny with hindsight, but living through the whole, right, okay, fuck you, I'm now going to take you over and be better than you ever were. If we take all that out, it just got me to the place of going, hang on, I'm actually far better than you, like, morally, not in any other way, just kind of like, I'm a better person than you. I would never have treated you that way. Realizing you're too good for the situation you're in. And if you're dating someone that doesn't value you the way that you should be valued, then go and find it elsewhere. All you're really doing is wasting your own time. That's all you're doing. And time is all we have. That's one thing I've definitely realized. And ironically, it wasn't prison that made me realize that. Time is the only real thing we have. Everything else can be taken from us in an instant. Why waste it with absolute fucking moron? Don't do it. Go, and it's time on your own is more valuable than time with someone that you're questioning. If you're questioning, leave it. Leave the situation. And when you've got some space between yourself and that situation, you can then gain some clarity. And then think, if you desperately love them, love is unfortunately stupid. Like, love is blind. We don't see the downsides in people when we love them. And that can be a beautiful thing as well as a really stupid thing. So, say, my husband, for instance, I'm hoping he never sees those. And that works for me for another 12 years, that he doesn't see my bad side. But there can be the point where if you're just with someone that's, you've got to see where your life wants to go, and you have to be selfish to a certain extent. And if you can't, if they're not going in the same direction as you or the way that you want to go, then you have to split off. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. It will come back, but maybe in a better way.
At one point on this podcast, self-worth was coming up all the time as the big lesson for how to get yourself out of a really sticky situation, whether it's a relationship or a life circumstance. And I definitely think there's an episode I did a while back with a therapist that's worth revisiting, where I asked her point blank, I'm like, what do you recommend for someone who's really struggling with self-worth? And she kind of had a hard time answering it, but she does give some practical tips. So I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Jumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.